Oh, yeah, you should listen to The Monty Show every single day, Monday through Friday. You can find us on SoundCloud. You can find us in iTunes. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. It's all The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. I'm Monty. That's Jake.
What's up?
Mixmaster Jake.
Yes.
A little bit of a heavy topic, obviously, to start the show today. We'll talk about athletes talking about the shooting. Steve Kerr absolutely went off. LeBron James got a little crazy with Kari Champion. We have got Chase Elliott giving you free wings. Well, they're not real wings. They're fake wings because we all know boneless wings aren't real wings.
Obviously.
We have to talk about that. Tim Lincecum could be a giant again. iPhones are melting down across the world. And LeBron James maybe cost his team $300 million. Yeah, let's get to all that on The Monty Show. Again, find me on Twitter, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on Twitter. Your thoughts on the Parkland High School shooting in Florida. Obviously, this is everything that we've all heard for about the last 24 hours now. It's horrendous. It is a tragedy that cannot be described. And it's also an opportunity for a lot of people to say powerful things, thoughtful things, stupid things. Many people have opinions on what happened at that Florida high school yesterday. Guys like Anthony Rizzo of the Chicago Cubs, who, by the way, went to that high school in Florida that was shot up. He left the Chicago Cubs today to go back to Florida to be with family and friends. You have all kinds of people from Donald Trump, the president of the United States, senators, Fox News, CNN, everybody's talking about this. But there are a few people, and I don't know your thoughts on this. I'm 44, about to be 45. Jake's 24. Do you feel like athletes are powerful voices? Do you feel like they carry a lot of weight in our society?
Yeah, I absolutely think they do. There's no doubt about it. I think they carry more weight than the politicians in office right now just because of the relatability factor. I think if you look at, again, not to get all political, but if you look at why Barack Obama was successful, it's because he was so relatable. And I think people are missing that with the current president. I think guys like, you know, the KDs of the world, LeBron, every biggest athlete you can think of who speaks out and uses their forum to express their opinion, I think they're so successful because everybody looks up to them. Everybody wants to be them. Everybody wants that lifestyle. And so when I think you have that on your side, people naturally listen. They realize, hey, when KD does a commercial ad that's controversial, I'm going to watch that and understand what he's trying to say, and then I'm going to decide how I feel about that. You know, when we were talking before the show, well, what's the difference between, you know, the situation when KD speaks out versus when Donald Trump speaks out? Donald Trump, when you think about, okay, well, Donald Trump's about to give a speech, you're going, uh-oh, is he going to misstep here? Is he not going to say something he should say? Whatever it might be. It's a negative feeling. But when you think about KD or LeBron or any prominent athlete that you look up to, you're like, hey, I got to turn this on. This is must watch. I got to see what this guy is saying. And I think that's the big difference. They're relatable. People want to hear it.
And so, I look at it differently. When I look at LeBron James and I hear him saying things, or KD, or you're going to hear Steve Kerr right now in a minute, I think they carry twice as much weight as the president. I think mainly in this country right now, athletes speak for a lot more people, represent a lot more people than the president does. And that's, I don't know, is that sad? Is that bad? Is that good? I have no idea. LeBron is a hell of a lot more relatable to Americans than Donald Trump is. Steve Kerr is, in my opinion, a heck of a lot more relatable to Americans than Donald Trump is, especially when he's talking about Donald Trump.
The situation that's going on in Florida, does it just get to a point for you, or is it just fatiguing to keep going through the same thing and seem like nothing's being done to resolve the issue?
Well, nothing has been done. It doesn't seem to matter to our government that children are being shot to death day after day in schools. It doesn't matter that people are being shot at a concert. in a movie theater. It's not enough, apparently, to move our leadership, our government, the people who are running this country, to actually do anything. And that's demoralizing.
Wow. I mean, to me, that is as powerful a statement as anybody can make. If you really think about what Steve Kerr is saying right there, he is saying that what our government and what Donald Trump is doing is not enough. That's the world champion head coach of the Golden State Warriors, and he was roundly applauded for that.
Right.
Do you applaud him for what he said? Do you have a problem with what Steve Kerr said?
No, I don't have a problem at all. I don't have a problem with anybody who speaks their mind and gives you their opinion, and I think it's just amplified for guys like Steve Kerr and prominent athletes. I like that he has the courage and doesn't have fear to speak out and just say, hey, look, I don't like what's going on. I don't think our lawmakers are doing anything. Nothing has been done on gun control or, you know, mental illness or any of these issues that are on the forefront because of the shooting. Yeah. You know, so yeah, I do like that. I do applaud him for stepping out like that.
I think there's a fine line, and I think Steve Kerr is right on top of it.
Yeah.
I think Steve Kerr is a guy that's not scared. I think Steve Kerr could care less. If he speaks his mind and he gets fired for that, Steve Kerr is fine with that. And that I have a lot of respect for. I'm not telling you that I agree with what he said or disagree with it. I'm telling you I applaud Steve Kerr for being brave enough to stand up and speak his mind. Now, LeBron, I think in this clip you're about to hear, I think LeBron went a step further than Steve Kerr.
If we had an invite, we're not going to the White House. LeBron, you called the president a bum.
Yeah, straight up.
How do you describe the climate for an athlete with a platform nowadays that want to talk about what's happening in our world?
Well, the climate is hot. The number one job in America, the point of person, is someone who doesn't understand the people and really don't give a fuck about the people. Ooh. When I was growing up, there were like three jobs that you looked for inspiration, or you felt like these were the people that can give me life. It was the president of the United States, it was whoever was the best in sports, and then it was like the greatest musician at the time. You never thought you can be them, but you can grab inspiration from. I felt like I could be, you know, if it was a neighborhood African-American cop and he was cool as hell, come around. You know, I felt like I could be him.
It's easy to be.
Yeah, I could be him, but I never felt I could be the president of the United States, but I grabbed inspiration from that. And this time right now, with the president of the United States, it's at a bad time. And while we cannot change what comes out of that man's mouth, we can continue to alert the people that watch us, that listen to us, as this is not the way.
When we're talking about leadership and what's going on in our country, it's all about leadership. And I learned that playing basketball. You know, I learned a lot of life skills from playing basketball. You need to empower people. You need to, you know, encourage people. And that's what builds a great team. And I feel like our team as a country is not ran by a great coach.
Ooh, that is Kevin Durant there and LeBron James. Likely as you have never heard them before. I don't love that LeBron James is openly mocking the president of the United States. I don't know that that's the right way to handle it, but that's his freedom. I think he is absolutely bulletproof. I don't think there's any way to touch LeBron James, no matter what he says about President Trump. Is it a mistake for him to do that? Do you care what he thinks about this?
I mean, I definitely care to hear what he has to say about things. I mean, I personally agree with what he has to say, but that doesn't mean everybody agrees with it. I think what's important is that he's putting his voice out there and he's giving people the option to agree or disagree, because the conversation is what stirs, you know, the pot of change. Once people start talking, then change happens, because once you start exchanging ideas, you can get somewhere and you can kind of formulate a plan and get to what the best solution is. And I think when these guys talk like that, that is the spark to start a grander conversation.
But, and I guess here's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
You have LeBron James and Kevin Durant with Kari Champion on Unfiltered, which is a YouTube series. And they're riding to a game in Cleveland in an Uber that Kari Champion is driving. That's what that setup was.
Yeah.
Just talking about strong social issues. And I think that's the right venue for it.
Mm-hmm.
The one knock I would have with Steve Kerr is he did it in an NBA setting. And I don't know that that's the right thing to do. Now, he's asked questions. Steve Kerr's a grown man. He's going to answer them the way he wants. He's fortunate that his boss, I think, probably agrees with him. Right?
Yeah.
But I think you need to be careful how you do that. I also think that Steve Kerr was roundly applauded for that. Steph Curry was roundly applauded for not going to the White House. LeBron James was roundly applauded for calling Donald Trump a bum on Twitter. I think there's a line. I don't know that we're at it or against it, but at some point, one of these guys is going to say something that they're going to regret. I don't know what that is yet. I don't take LeBron as that guy, but I'm getting to the point where I don't want to hear this every single day. I need sports to be an escape. I need sports, and if you're with me on this, you'll know exactly what I mean. I need sports. Maybe you need this show to be an escape from the school shooting in Florida. When it's constantly being asked, when it's Sean White the other day that we talked about on the show yesterday about his sexual assault thing.
Yeah.
When it's Steve Kerr being asked about a shooting at a high school. I get worn out on it. My wife and I were sitting on the couch this morning eating breakfast. And it's like, it can't be much past 6:30. We were at the gym this morning at 5, played an hour of basketball, Jake and I did. My wife worked out. We come home. We're eating breakfast on the couch watching CNN. And I said, I just can't do it right now. I can't do it. So I flipped on SportsCenter. And I flipped on the Olympics. Because I at some point, it just becomes too much. It pisses me off that CNN today, and I'm not a Democrat or Republican, I'm an American. CNN today putting these kids on TV, kid after kid after kid, to talk about the carnage and the death and what it was like to be in those classrooms. And do we need that? Do we need to put these kids who have been traumatized, who have been victimized, who are now going to become poster children, literally poster children, for the anti-gun movement in this country? Do we need them on TV reliving one of the worst days in American history?
Probably not.
Do we need that?
Probably not.
I don't think we do need that. You know, I just, at some point, it becomes a little bit too much for me. I guess is what I'm saying.
And that's because of negativity? That's because of what exactly would you say? I mean, because for me, when I watch a lot of CNN, and I do watch a lot of CNN because you watch a lot of CNN, but at some point for me, I get tired of it just because it's so negative. It's so overwhelmingly negative, and you feel like, is there anything positive in the news? Like, is there a good reason to watch the news other than to stay current on what's happening?
I can't tell you that there is.
You know, because really, why are we watching things like CNN, Fox News, whatever you watch? It's to stay current.
Whatever your flavor of the day is.
It's to stay current and understand what's happening in the world of politics and the world in general, right? So it's not as though we're watching because we want to find out something good is happening.
Yeah.
You got to go out of your way to find something good.
There are days where I just can't do it. And today was one of those days. I was just, it's frustrating. I got to be honest with you. There's no escape from it anymore. And maybe that's the Donald Trump discussion. Donald Trump being a president the way he is president and the way he leads, there's no escape from the oppression of it, from the weight of it, from the Russia thing, from everywhere we go.
For me, it's a reality TV show. That's what it's turned into, man. Right? Like, there's always a problem that the news outlets are reporting on.
And I just want to get away from it, and there's no way to get away from it.
The only way to get away from it is by not turning it on. That's really the only way to get away from it. And
anymore, though, because I got Steve Kerr talking about it, and I got LeBron talking about it, and I'm a huge Twitter guy. It's all over Twitter from athletes and celebrities and news people.
I think for me at least, and maybe this is different for you, but for me, it's the hearing it from those people is different than hearing it from CNN, because I think the form is so different and the style of hearing it is so different.
But that's my whole point in this, and we're talking about this because it's Steve Kerr and LeBron James.
Yeah.
It's different because you care what they think. You don't give a damn what Chris Cuomo thinks. You don't care what Sean Hannity thinks, right? Like, you care what LeBron James, your boy is Kevin Durant. You care what Kevin Durant says about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You genuinely care what he thinks. Yeah. And I just want to get away from it. I need something and somewhere to be my escape. Right now, I got to be honest with you, it's the Olympics.
It is.
I am so glad that we have not seen outside of the Shaun White controversy. We have not seen politics. We have not seen partisanship. We have not seen any of that garbage at the Olympics.
The Pence thing was really the only political thing that's really happened there.
And I didn't really watch much of the figure skating. I'm not a big figure skating fan. My wife is a huge figure skating fan.
Yeah.
So we watched some of that. The opening ceremonies with the North Korean Kim Jong-un's sister being right behind Mike Pence, okay, that was an interesting story. But, like, right now, I'm just so pissed that Team Canada is better at hockey than the U.S. in both the men's and the women's. It weirded me out today. I watched that where they're on the sled,
yeah,
and there's two dudes laying on top of each other on a sled.
It's like dual luge.
Luge. That's the word I couldn't think of. Like, I was weirded out because two dudes are laying on each other separated only by spandex.
They're luging.
Yeah. Okay, that was awkward for me. Right? Like, that's the escape that I needed. And dang it, I love the NBA. I love the NBA. And I need it to be an escape. You know, this story, like LeBron James, to transition, LeBron James and Paul George potentially will cost their teams $300 million each next year. Because if LeBron James goes back to the Cavs,
The land.
If he goes back to the land, LeBron, they will be well over $300 million in player expense between salary and luxury tax. Exactly. Between salary and luxury tax, they'll be over $300 million.
Yeah.
Would you pay that to bring LeBron back to Cleveland?
No.
Dan Gilbert says he's willing to pay it because if LeBron goes back to Cleveland, his franchise is worth $1.3 billion. $1.3 billion. If he leaves, it's only worth $1 billion. That's a lot of money.
So
$300 million versus $3 million or whatever it is, the $150 million luxury tax versus $300 million in franchise value, because yes, he wants to sell the team. So I think it makes sense for him to pay that $300 million. I'll tell you who it doesn't make sense for, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I say it every day on this show, I think Carmelo Anthony is an albatross around the neck of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
Because he is going to have a $28 million player option this offseason. Anybody want to wager whether or not he picks up that $28 million player option? I'm going to say he's going to pick
that up. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he does. Yeah.
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 I don't think there's any doubt that he is going to pick up that player option.
Yeah.
No question about it. With Russ's max deal, Melo's $28 million, and PG's max deal, to bring them all back, they'll be over $300 million in total player expense. And I don't see Oklahoma City making that kind of money.
No.
And I don't see them paying that kind of money. All of this to say, boy, it looks a hell of a lot more likely that it's LeBron and PG going to LA next year.
Financially, it makes sense.
I thought a great article on, man, I want to say it was Deadspin. I can't remember where it was. But a great article on the fact that the Lakers now don't need Lonzo Ball to be a savior.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's an interesting change in landscape in Los Angeles. When they drafted Lonzo Ball, he was drafted to be the guy to carry the franchise. He doesn't have to be that anymore.
Was he, though?
Oh, because, yes.
Whoa, hold on. We talked a lot of Magic Johnson on the show the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson is the one who put that kind of mystique out there, that they drafted him because he needs to be the savior.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. If you're drafting a guy to be the savior and you think he's that good, are you bringing in LeBron and Paul George?
Yes. Yes. Yes, you are. Because if he's that good, and he has shown that he is an exceptional playmaker. An exceptional playmaker. Lonzo Ball.
Right.
He's shown that. Lonzo Ball is the perfect firing pin. He is the guy that just makes that offense run. Like, imagine that piston in an engine up and down, hitting the spark plug firing pin, slamming that piston back down. That's Lonzo Ball for the Lakers with LeBron on his left and PG on his right. Come on. Are you kidding me?
I mean, yeah, it would be good. I'm not doubting it.
Absolutely, it would be good. I think it's one of those things where you have got to figure out, is this kid iconic or is he just another dude?
That's what I'm saying. I've never been the biggest Lonzo fan. I'm just going to put that out there. But at the same time, I think you got to give him a fair chance, too. And I'm one of those people that has to give him a fair chance. I mean, I think Curry came out like 6 weeks ago and was like, if people had judged me on my first season, I would have been crushed. I would have been ridiculed, you know. So I think at the All-Star break, yeah, it's not been great, but he's been hurt a lot. I think he needs to have a good second half and prove that he can really play. And then this summer, he needs to, like, work on the shot, or he needs to shoot a hell of a lot better next year.
But he's not going to do that. He's going to be a rap star in Lithuania this summer, and I'm not even joking about that. He's got a rap album coming. He's got this Lithuania concert coming over the summer. But
I just don't see, that's my problem right there. You drafted a dude to be a savior, and he's more worried about his rap career than getting better at basketball.
Absolutely is. That's a problem. And the other issue here is, and you know where I'm going, LeVar Ball has been largely marginalized in L.A. They had that sit-down with him. Magic and Rob Pelinka, the general manager, brought in LeVar Ball and said, hey, we really need you to tone this criticism down.
Yeah.
And then he didn't do that, and they've essentially ignored him. And with Lonzo being hurt, it has really pushed LeVar's influence way down.
Do you think LeVar's outwardness and his ability to run his mouth has played at all into how long Lonzo's been out?
No, I don't. I think they're being very careful with him. Because I think they like him. I like him.
Is he the savior of the organization?
No, he's not that kind of talent. To be a savior, you better be able to score, and you better be able to put a team on your back, and he's not that guy. It's not that guy. Because if he was that guy, you wouldn't be looking for two superstars. Neither is Brandon Ingram at this moment. He's not. I honestly, who's their best player right now in Los Angeles?
Kuzma.
No, it's Julius Randle. Julius Randle, I think, is their best player. Kyle Kuzma is their best young player, their best rookie. He's better than Ingram right now. Although I can see Ingram projecting out to be a star. I can. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the draft. If you're a Laker fan, you better hope they lose, because there's a ton of talent in this draft.
I just don't think they're that team this year.
If the Lakers are in position to draft Trae Young, do they do it?
They should.
How do you not? But then what do you do with Lonzo? I don't know.
He's not a savior. He needs to earn a spot.
I think the real issue is that Lonzo Ball has been hurt, and it's convenient because it keeps LeVar's mouth shut. And they just need to get to the All-Star break. You know, it sadly, that's what this is.
I think a lot of teams just need to get to the All-Star break, including the Warriors.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yes, I think there's a lot of that. So the bottom line for me is I can clearly see a route for PG and LeBron to wind up in L.A. Because all this talk about LeBron James being done, not so much.
Being done, he's not done. Done. He's not retiring done.
There's a lot of people who have said that he is on the backside of his career, that his game is slipping, his skills are eroding. I haven't seen that since they made the trade. January was ugly. February's been a hell of a lot better.
This is what I said when they went through all that trial and tribulation when they had IT and all those guys there, and he just kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, just kind of lagged in the game, just didn't really try too hard. That was him not trying real hard, because what happened after they made the trade? He came back and was LeBron that we all know and love.
Well, and we talked about that on the show. I think that he is – LeBron James, I think, just got tired of the game.
Yeah.
And this whole thing with Isaiah Thomas and Rajon Rondo, the drama around Isaiah Thomas
– continues.
Just continues. He was clearly not a good teammate in Cleveland. Everybody has essentially talked about that. The Jay Crowder-Isaiah Thomas trade did not work. If you think that LeBron wouldn't love to go back and undo that thing, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's hard not to sleepwalk when you're just tired of everything that's around you.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he was. And I think he's going to leave. There's no way that you're paying.
I just don't think career-wise it makes sense for him to stay if he wants to keep trying to win championships.
Not in Cleveland anyways.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk wings because you know the Daytona 500 is coming up this weekend.
Daytona.
I have to find a new driver this year because my guy Dale. Hey, Dale. Enjoy retirement.
Dude, you had to bring that up.
Yeah, I miss Dale already. The Daytona 500 will be interesting. Chase Elliott is in the running to be my new dude. Mainly because he potentially is going to get me free wings, and I'm a huge wing guy.
Right.
We bought an air fryer specifically to make the best wings in America. Well, see, Chase Elliott has a partnership with Hooters.
Well.
Hello. Hooters girls are not. They're overrated. I'm not a guy that loves a pound of makeup and, you know, one size too small of everything that you're wearing. Like, right. That's just not my thing.
Right.
But Hooters sponsors Chase Elliott for certain races. They're saying when he wins that you will get a buy one, get one on boneless wings, which really aren't wings. They're chicken nuggets.
Right.
They'll give you a buy one, get one free on boneless wings. Would that make you go to Hooters?
No.
I don't think so.
Nope.
I don't think so. So where is your wing joint? If I said, let's go get some wings, where are we going?
B-dubs. It's B-dubs, man.
Buffalo Wild Wings is your wing go. No. B-dubs or Wingstop? See, it's Wingstop.
I mean, Wingstop is a wings-only place. So Wingstop for wing-only places.
We are
places.
Getting wings.
Yeah, look, Wingstop is probably the superior choice, but all around, I think Buffalo Wild Wings is a superior product, you know.
What do you mean? What is superior? What do you like about B-Dubs?
I like their fries better. You say Wingstop has better fries. I like B-Dubs fries
Wingstop
better.
Wingstop is...
B-Dubs has better ranch, in my opinion.
Wingstop's French fries are second only to Five Guys.
Okay, well, you can keep telling yourself that, but, you know.
You think the French fries at Buffalo Wild Wings are better than... You're crazy, bro. There's no way the French fries are better at B-Dubs than Wingstop. That's okay. Just... That's crazy talk.
Okay.
Come on. What do you like about their fries?
They're good. They taste really good. And they're crispy.
I just know.
And by the way, you don't have to pay for ranch.
Well, at Wingstop, you have to pay for extra ranch. This is very true. Because, well, they're a ranch place.
Yeah.
But, like, I look at wings in the rankings of wings. You know this country is dreaded when UproXx, which is a great site, by the way, UproXx, puts out a ranking of the best chain restaurant wings in the country. They say the 10th best chain wings in the country, and I'm serious about this, Domino's Pizza.
Help me.
Nah. 9, Cheesecake Factory.
Nah.
I'm not a big fan of their wings. I like the factory, but I'm not a big fan of the wings. 8, Pizza Hut.
No, hell no. No.
7, P.F. Chang's has the 7th best wings in the country, according to UproXx.
No.
6 is Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay, solid.
They say if you're going out for wings, B-Dubs seems like the second option you'd settle for when you find your favorite wing joint is closed. Yes, sir.
Well said. Wingstop's got to be number one on
this. Yes, sir. Number 5 is Wing Zone. They're all right. I've been to a Wing Zone. They're okay. Anchor Bay Wings, haven't had those. Hooters is number 3.
No.
Hooters wings are not terrible. They're just okay. And they charge you to do drums only.
Yeah.
They charge you to do drums only. Number 2 on this list, Wingstop.
Okay, what's number 1?
The wings are near perfect at Wingstop. The crisply fried aspects of Wingstop wings is tasty on its own, but it's their sauce where things really start to shine. Habanero mango, I'm good, is sweet and spicy in all the right ways. Cajun, Louisiana rub, hickory smoke barbecue,
lemon pepper,
and teriyaki all hit the mark with deeply rooted flavors that wonderfully accent the crispy wings underneath.
Hey, baby.
These are great wings.
Yet.
Number 1 is Banchan. Never heard of them. Bonchon.
Banchan?
Never heard of them.
Dude, come on. I've never heard of them either. It is Wingstop all day.
They're in South Korea, and now they have opened up around several stores around the U.S.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
I'm going Wingstop.
Wingstop, by the way, way higher ranked than B-Dubs.
Yeah.
You want to go watch football and eat wings? Okay, maybe B-Dubs. I'll say B-Dubs. You actually want to have good wings and the best fries next to Five Guys? You're going to Wingstop.
For us, it's the homemade air fryer.
Yeah, the air fryer is way better. Just get the wing quarters at Costco. I would say thaw them out first. Just soak them in water for 20 minutes.
Boom.
Salt, pepper.
Butter.
Not butter. Salt, pepper, and olive oil. Toss them in salt, pepper, and olive oil. Put them in the air fryer for 25 minutes, and you have got perfect crispy wings. They're amazing.
Boom.
Put them in and make a bunch of them. Put them in a snapware or Tupperware. Put them in the fridge. Eat them for breakfast tomorrow because they're great.
Bada boom, bada bing. You know what I mean?
Just, you know what I'm saying? Right, bada boom, bada bing. Ranch or blue cheese?
Ranch all day.
Ranch or honey mustard?
Ranch all day.
I'm a huge ranch guy, too. But I'm telling you, honey, you know who's got crappy honey mustard, though? Chick-fil-A. Why are we talking about this? Anyway, Chick-fil-A might be overrated. There's one opening up by our new house, and people
that's
are just
dangerous.
Like, oh, I can't wait.
That's
I can't
dangerous.
Wait. Chick-fil-A.
Dude, that's
you
dangerous.
Can get 30 nuggets.
Chick-fil-A breakfast Ooh, Chick-fil-A. Is superior.
Okay, Chick-fil-A breakfast, as long as it's on a flaky biscuit.
Oh, hello. Their English muffin stuff is strong,
But
too.
See, when we lived in Utah.
Utah.
They were woefully short on Jack in the Boxes. Like, they only had one,
there's
and it was in St. George.
There's not one in the Valley.
I got to tell you, their extreme sausage sandwich for breakfast is unbelievable.
Are you okay?
Love it. I love the extreme sausage sandwich. By the way, do you eat the carrots and celery with the wings?
Hell no.
I do. It's good for you. You got
to
see.
I'm not going to B-Dubs to have a healthy meal.
Well, you got to dilute the cholesterol in the
Dilute
it. Right? Like, you got to dilute the cholesterol.
Yeah, that's what the 32-ounce water's for.
And the ranch, right?
Yeah.
It's ranch all day. It's carrots and celery for sure. And I think it's lemon pepper and honey barbecue.
Yeah.
That's where the whole
nine
is.
The Parmesan dry rub was never my favorite. We tried that once, and it just didn't work out too well. The wing is like, because it's a dry rub, It's like really crispy, makes it more difficult to eat it. Nah.
Mm-hmm. I love wings.
Yeah.
I love Tim Lincecum. Timmy is on the way back.
It's about time.
He threw a showcase today. They say he's between 90 and 93, and he lived at 91 during the showcase. Threw all of his pitches around the strike zone, and the curveball has its trademark bite to it. They say there were over 20 teams at his showcase in Seattle today. Jake, do you believe that he gets back in the major leagues?
I think he... I think Tim Lincecum's going to be a guy that signs a AAA contract, shows what he can really do, and then gets an opportunity. And if he misses on that opportunity, I think he's done, you know?
What do you have to lose by signing Tim Lincecum? Because it's not like there is a plethora of free agent pitching out there. I mean, the best guy who's left out there, in my opinion, is Jake Arrieta.
I would agree with that.
But Jake is way better than Tim Lincecum.
Also costs a hell of a lot more.
He does. But Tim Lincecum or Lance Lynn? Lance Lynn's a gas can. Lance Lynn's getting guys out.
To me, that's 6-1. But I think, yeah, Lance Lynn can start in Major League Baseball. He's a fifth starter to me.
But what is Tim Lincecum a bullpen guy? He has said that he's willing to take a minor league deal with a major league camp invite.
I would say right now he's a bullpen guy. I wouldn't put it past him to get back in a rotation. But to do that, you got to pitch consistently well. You do.
I think he's a bullpen guy, and I hope you're not signing him thinking he's going to be Cy Young Tim Lincecum.
No.
Because that's never going to happen.
No, but I don't think he's Grandpa Tim Lincecum either. I mean, he's got rest now. He's got more velocity than he had when he went out with the Angels. And I think
amazing shape.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, he's put on muscle. His shoulder and his trap look a lot better on his throwing side now. So, I think he's done everything that he can do. And at this point, he's going to give it one more shot. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I think he's a guy that doesn't have anything to lose, and that's a dangerous position to be in.
Should the Giants re-sign Tim Lincecum or give him a shot to come back?
I think you give him a shot, at least. But
if you are the Angels, he was so bad for you.
I wouldn't.
If you are the, who needs to pick the Cubs? If you are the Cardinals, if you're Yankees. Seattle, Yankees, Yankees are good. They have a great bullpen. You know, you look at the Boston Red Sox today. You know, Mookie Betts today said that their chemistry last year was horrendous.
Yeah.
They, quote, butted heads in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Apparently, Dustin Pedroia really pissed a bunch of people off when he yelled across the field at Manny Machado saying it was them, not me, meaning his teammates.
The Red Sox and the Orioles had a heated rivalry last year.
Oh, yeah. And it will continue this year. The Red Sox.
Yeah, I don't think, what do you have to lose at this? I mean, you don't have anybody who's ace caliber on your side. I mean, Chris Sale, but, you know, other than that, it's not like you have some amazing bullpen. You have Kimbrel, but.
I don't think there's any risk. I don't think there's anything to lose by signing Tim Lincecum to a minor league deal with a spring training invite. What do you have to lose?
Nothing.
I'd sign him. I would.
And he's fine with that. He said he is good with that. So yeah. I think it makes perfect sense.
Does it? I don't necessarily think he needs to, quote-unquote, go home to the Giants. I could see him doing it with Seattle. I don't think he's a guy that has to win. He's already won. He's a multi-time Cy Young Award winner. He's thrown two no-hitters.
Achievement-wise, he's got everything you ever want.
I think he wants to go out on his terms, and I can completely respect that.
Yeah.
So, I'm good with that. I pitching is just so down this year.
It is.
You know, like, what did you think of the story about... The Major League Baseball Players Association has a camp going on, a spring training for free agents. A Royals scout showed up and was sitting in the stands. The Major League Baseball Players Association kicked him out of the stadium and said this is not a tryout camp.
Yeah, because it's not.
Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
I do agree with it, especially in the landscape of what's going on. I mean, they're not there to try out. They're there to work on their game. They're not there to, hey, I want to try and impress a scout. I want to try and throw 95 for a scout. They're not there doing that. They're there working out and staying in shape. So when they do inevitably sign, they're ready to go.
Or get a workout. And see, I agree with that. I think if you're Major League Baseball, you want your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You want to say that we're going to spend less money, and now I want to put the players in a fishbowl and make them.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah, because essentially, if you're a major league team, you want your scouts to be able to go down there and watch.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, if you want to scout a player, set up a private workout with him, because they will do that. And I think that's the exact right tack to take if you're the players.
And by the way, you've had all winter to watch these guys.
Yeah, and they haven't done it.
No.
And by the way, this is coming in the NBA, too. Because the NBA is going to trim payrolls over the next 2 years, you watch. And this same thing is going to happen where teams are going to spend less money. Look at the Lakers. They haven't won in how long, and they've spent a hell of a lot less money losing. I think that's going to happen across the NBA. And I think it's because of the luxury tax, and it's why Billy Hunter, the president of the Players Association in the NBA, screwed his players because he allowed salary caps and luxury taxes and... I just think it's a terrible idea, and I think it's what we're seeing in Major League Baseball, where there are, you know, there's luxury taxes, but there's no salary cap.
Yeah.
But what? Teams are not wanting to overspend because they don't want to pay that dollar-for-dollar luxury tax.
Yeah.
And I guess I can't blame them, but I think we're headed for long work stoppages in pro sports because players are not going to continue to get outrageous contracts.
Yeah.
I don't know how the owners stop it because they're at fault. If you don't want to pay guys, don't pay them. But you better figure out.
Doesn't that ultimately hurt the owners, though? Like, at the end of the day? Because
depends
if you're not,
on
if
how
you're not,
you look at it, though.
Like, from my perspective is if you're not going to pay the player, then at some point your attendance is going to go down because what do we go to see? We go to see teams and we go to see players.
Are the Florida Marlins trying to build a World Series champion?
No. Hell no. No.
I don't know if that's true or not. I think Derek Jeter bought that team with a bunch of dudes, and he wants to burn it down and rebuild it on his own, which is the only reason you can assume that he got rid of Ozuna and Yelich and
he might
call me Giancarlo Stanton.
He better have a damn good action plan then, because, I mean, you had a lot of talent on that team, and he's done some dumb things, in my opinion, and you got to get results when you do that.
I can honestly say the Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs, Nats, Giants, Dodgers, all those guys are trying to win championships. Seattle Mariners?
I would say they are, yeah.
Anaheim Angels certainly are.
Yep.
Texas Rangers?
Yeah. No.
Tampa Bay Rays?
No.
New York Mets? No. They're broke. The Wilpons are still trying to get out of Bernie Madoff
money. They signed Frazier, and they have a lot of talent there.
their crosstown rivals got Giancarlo Stanton. You picked up Todd Frazier. Hey, all right.
Yeah, but I think that's probably unfair.
They're not spending
Yankee money. Nobody.
They're
is.
Not spending Mets money, and the Yankees aren't spending a ton of money. The Yankees are being very wise, right?
Yeah.
So, listen, I just don't. You can't sit me in a boardroom with every owner in Major League Baseball and have them try to convince me they're trying to win championships, because they're not.
Well, I don't think in any sport every team's trying to win a championship. I think teams are at different. They're at different crossroads in their quote-unquote rebuild or their success. I mean, every team ebbs and flows. I mean, the San Francisco Giants, my team. You know, you go way up for five. Pretty much a decade, actually. On and off, you win World Series. You were terrible last year and the year before, really. And so now you've kind of made some acquisitions and you're trying to win again.
Yeah.
You know, so that seems like the natural ebb and flow of things. They were bad for a couple years. Okay, now we've developed some guys. We've got money now to spend. Okay, now we'll be decent again. But teams like the Marlins and Derek Jeter shipped out all their talent, and he's not going to sign anybody. And my feeling is, that puts all the pressure on him to be excellent in the draft. Because,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you're not going to buy talent, you got to draft talent and develop it. And if you miss, like most teams do, you're in trouble.
Yeah. All right, before we get out of here, we got to talk iPhones, because I am an iPhone 10 user, lover. If you're watching this on Facebook, you're watching it on an iPhone 10. If you're watching this on Periscope, what's up to you? You're watching this on an iPhone 7 Plus. I've got a MacBook. I've got an iPad Pro. Like, I'm an Apple dude through and through. There's two O's in Goose, boys. That's why the news today that Apple continues to have a really, really crappy week, including a monster bug that is melting iPhones down.
Like into lava?
Into useless hunks of technology.
I see.
If a user is to open a conversation in a text-based app like WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook Messenger, and type a single Indian character, the Indian language.
Yeah.
They have this special character that if you type this character into your Apple device in a text format, your phone will shut down and it will begin purging itself. It is
this
incredible
real?
Bug. Oh, yes. Yes. No question about it. You know, if someone were to send you a character as a text, the notification snippet containing the character would also freeze or restart the entire iOS springboard by itself on a repeated loop.
Oops.
So your phone will just restart and restart and restart. That app will be useless. Your phone will eventually become useless.
Ooh. There's no solving it.
Not right now. Apple says they're going to release an update.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Mobile World also says the bug afflicts platforms beyond iOS, watch iOS, Mac iOS apps like Notes, Safari, and the App Store all reportedly crash as soon as the infamous character shows up.
Ugh.
So it's not just texting apps. By the way, there is one certain app that is immune from this, and it is called Telegram.
Boom.
And if you're not using the Telegram
Boom.
Text app, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Fire
you need
app,
to.
Dude. Fire.
The only safe operating system from this bug is iOS 11.3. I have it. Which is only publicly available in beta form. I am on the public beta. You should be too. Anyway, point is, do you ever think about how what you would do if you did not have your iPhone?
Gotta go get another one.
But no, you don't have access to your iPhone. You lost it, whatever. You're broke, whatever. Can you imagine living without your phone?
I mean, I have an iPad Pro, so I guess I could get by. But no, that would suck.
That would be terrible.
That'd be horrible.
I think we're way too reliant on it.
Oh, like, there's no doubt about it.
My wife routinely tells me, you're addicted to your phone. You just gotta shut the thing down. I don't think I'm addicted to my phone. It's just...
It's a way of life,
It's
dude.
My side piece.
So,
it's my side piece.
You had to work side piece in today, didn't you?
Today is National Side Piece Day. But my iPhone is my side piece, sadly or rightly or wrongly. Like, I'm so addicted to reading Twitter. I'm not addicted to my phone. My phone has gotten me addicted to Twitter, which really is my only addiction. Like, Instagram, I'm never on Snapchat anymore. I hated the update.
I'm close to taking it off my phone.
I'm never on Facebook. I mean, very rarely. Like, to do live stuff, I'll occasionally post some stuff. I do not ever sit and swipe through Facebook anymore. I just don't. It just wears me out. I use Twitter on an hourly basis.
This is a fascinating thing for me, and this is such a big discussion, but it's fascinating to me that I actually enjoy using Facebook, and you guys hate using Facebook, and I think that's just fascinating.
Right, but you're in the right generation for it. You know, you're 24, so you're, what, 8 years? Wow, you're 8 years out of high school.
Yeah.
Wow. Or no, I guess 6 years out of high school.
Yeah, six.
But you're still connected to your high school and college friends, so you're keeping up with them. I'm 44.
Like, I have a car group.
I'm going to be 45 in 4 days. I'm much more into what Twitter is saying, what Donald Trump is saying. I'm into news and the news cycle and giving opinions and talking sports and politics on Twitter. Like, that's my whole thing. I like Instagram. I like looking at pictures.
I love Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram's fun. I like my Instagram story. I post on a daily, hourly basis. Like, that's what I like. It's what I don't like about Facebook. I am not sure I've ever used Facebook story intentionally.
The only reason I use my story is because I have it linked to my Instagram story. So my Instagram story kicks it to Facebook.
And I have my Instagram story is like a brand, or my Instagram account is a brand account for the Monty Show. So I can't connect it to my personal Facebook page. They don't allow you to do those two things.
Right.
So I don't use it like that. But
right.
I think I would be devastated if I didn't have my phone. Like it is something that. When I've occasionally, maybe once or twice, left the house without my phone, and I go back to get it. I'm not the guy who would be like, I left my phone at home.
But also, you got to preface it by saying, for what we do, it's essential. It's not an option. You have to have it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think if you are a chef, let's say, you don't need your phone while you work. Your work is right in front of you in your environment.
Are you addicted to your phone?
Yeah, I mean, on some level, yeah, I am. I don't think that's unfair to say that. I think the dangerous part comes in when you're giving your toddlers the phone, because their brain isn't fully developed yet. So whatever they have in front of them, they're going to cling to, and that's what they're going to know the rest of their life. Like, I wasn't introduced to phones, really smartphones, like iPhone, Android style smartphones, so I was probably like 15.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because yeah. I remember my first phone. It was a black LG slider phone. I can't remember what it was called, but it basically was
Razor.
A slider. A Razor, yeah. So.
But you didn't get that till you were 10, 12?
Yeah. You know, so it wasn't like I was 5. You know, and that's really where the real danger is, because kids get. They don't understand the dangers of it and kind of what's on the line with it.
It's, yeah.
You know, because there is danger to it. You can't just say anything you want to say.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, I guess, but.
You know, there's people on Periscope saying that it's not an addiction, it's just the way we live our lives. But see, I have a problem with that.
It's both.
I have a problem with that. I need a digital detox. I freely admit it. I need to, like, we're going to Ireland in April.
Like, when you go to Ireland, you should just turn your phone off.
But I want to Instagram. I want to take pictures with my phone.
Take pictures? No, don't take it with your phone. You have... What, $2,000 worth of cameras in your house?
Yeah.
Bring a camera with you and take pictures with the camera and then post it when you get back.
Oh, man, because then I can't check my email.
Yeah, you can't do it. But that's what I mean. See, that's the perfect example, right? Like, you would never, you're not the person who'd be comfortable. Like, I'm not saying don't bring your phone with. I'm saying have your phone on you, but have it off. Because that's our only link to emergency situations, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I just put a poll up on Twitter. Are you addicted to your phone? 100% yes.
New phone, who dis?
12 votes already. It's been up 35 seconds, and it's 100% yes. I think people realize it, and we choose not to do anything about it.
Well, do you do about it?
Nothing. You download the Monty Show from iTunes, and you subscribe to this podcast on SoundCloud, and you follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.